Let's open in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the coming of spring, Lord God, because you are faithful in that, Lord God. We repeat what your word says. You said as long as the earth remains, there will be summer, winter, springtime, and harvest. And we thank you because you are faithful to your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless us, Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come and move in the name of Jesus. We pray for the Holy Spirit to infiltrate our hearts, Lord, and our minds, Lord God. Give us understanding in your word, Lord God. And I pray that we don't only just understand it, Lord, but we have a heart to do it, Lord. So move on us, Holy Spirit. Move by your power in this room, all over the house of God today, all over the houses of God, all over Pueblo, Lord God, in surrounding areas, all over the United States, as people gather, oh Lord, in the house of God. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would meet them, oh God, and we will be changed and we will be strengthened, Lord God, and we would prevail in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are continuing on with the war room, and we are still in honest evaluation, guys, but we're moving into day three today, okay? Day three is the final segment of honest evaluation, and I hope you guys are taking this in, and, you know, I hope you guys have found a prayer partner. You know, that was the assignment last week, is find someone that you trust, that you have access to, that you can pray with. It makes all the difference in the world. As Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. I have a prayer partner. I have someone that I pray with, and we kind of talk about, you know, we have similar situations going on in our lives and in our families, and we get together and we pray. And it, so it just has to be someone that you can get together and just pray with and touch and agree and know that the Lord is there, and then just watch God move. Not that God can't move with your prayers alone, but, you know, he said, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst, you know. So, you know, I encourage you, continue searching for a prayer partner, or ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. And it may be the unlikely person, the person that you didn't expect. Well, the Lord is leading you to that person. Do it. It'll change everything for you and change everything for that person. Because it's not just about you. It's about the other person, too. Okay, so don't get in this mindset, it's all about me. You know, it's about them, too. So, again, it may be somebody that you know needs prayer. And you could just ask them, hey, would you be my prayer partner? I got some issues. And then they'll start sharing their issues. And you can start praying, and we can change this city. We can change this county for Jesus. I don't know if you guys saw the story in the paper, but the signs to pray for Pueblo, they did a story on it, and it was actually in the paper about the churches coming together and praying for Pueblo. So the city is hearing about it. The people are hearing about it. So let's keep pressing forward to take our city for Jesus Christ. So as we get into, we finished up last week with the armor of God. We were still talking about the armor of God and the importance of the armor of God and how the armor works together and in conjunction with each other. We talked about how no one can put your armor on for you. You have to put your armor on yourself. And it's just an act of your will that you put this in. We ended up talking about the things that can keep us from our armor. You know, the things that come up. Our pride was number one, is that sometimes we are too prideful to put on our armor. We want to do things our way. We don't want to have our breastplate of righteousness. We want to tell that little lie. You know, we don't want to be in peace. We want to tell people off, and we want to, you know, we don't want to have the shield of faith. We want it now, now, now. I don't want to believe for tomorrow. I want it now. You know, so all these things that these prideful things that get in the way of us putting on our armor of God. Busyness was another thing, that we're so busy. We don't have time to put on the armor of God. We don't have time to pray. Because remember, prayer was a big part of that armor. Pray, 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 it said. So busyness can cause you to keep your armor off. Troubles, you know, sometimes when we have trouble, that's another thing that we don't want to put on our armor. We don't feel like it. I mean, we're sad, we're depressed. We thought it was going to happen this way. We thought it was going to happen yesterday, and it didn't happen. So sometimes our trials and our troubles keep us from putting our armor on for the day, you know, because we are just sad. You know, you got to cast that sadness off. Some things you got to do by faith, not by feeling, but by faith. You know, you got to open your mouth and sing praise and worship by faith sometimes. Sometimes I don't feel like it, but Lord, I'm going to open my mouth and sing praise because I know the praise will change me. I find that when I start singing his praises, my attitude just changes, because the scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. So you just sing that praise. And finally, we said blessings, and that's a tricky one, because you'd think that blessings would not keep you from putting your armor on. But sometimes right after we get blessed, right after we get that prayer answered, that's when we don't pray. We put down the prayer stuff. We don't have to put on our armor now, because now that battle is over. But I'm going to tell you, that enemy of yours is already concocting your newest battle, okay? So be in prayer so that you are alert and you are ready for the next battle. Don't let the blessings detour you, or the blessings distract you from what God has given you to do. And I'll tell you something about blessings. The blessing is never just about you. When God blesses, it's so that you can continue his work. It's not just about you. It's about so that you can continue his work. You know, so if you've been blessed with a new car, new house, new job, ask Lord, where is your service in this? What do you want me to be doing with this? You know, because it's never just about you, because we are the body of Christ. You get that? We are the body of Christ. I can't wait to get into the next lesson, just emphasizing some of the lessons, just talk about the importance of understanding that you are part of the body of Christ and what that is all about. So today we go into day 3, which I've entitled Learning, just learning about this honest evaluation. And there's a quote at the top of your lesson from Miss Clara in the movie, and it says, "You don't have to step on the same landmines that I did. That's just a waste of time." And that's absolutely true. You don't have to go through the same thing other people went through. Listen, you know, learn. If you learn, you won't have to do it. You know, you won't have to go through. And again, our pride sometimes keeps us from learning stuff that we need to learn and absorb. And then a quote from George Santayana says, "Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it." And that's a shame, you know. I mean, one of the big deals in Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbingers, is that he's talking about the repetition of history, that what Israel went through and what Israel did is happening again in the United States. That's one of the big deals in his book, is that just the same things Israel did, the United States is doing and has done, you know, so we can look at the same conclusion that Israel looked at. So again, if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. And unfortunately, it looks like we're repeating it in this nation, but we're going to pray. And you know, he always emphasizes that we can pray and we can turn the tide in things. So as we go into the first point on your lesson, it says, one of the greatest benefits of connecting with other believers is the depth of learning that comes from walking through life with others who have had experiences with Christ. We don't have to repeat one another's mistakes. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." And that's from 1 Corinthians 11:1. And it says, "Modeling after other seasoned believers who are slightly further along in the journey is one of the Bible's prescribed method of discipleship." That's why we're talking about a prayer partner. You might want to get someone that's older than you. It could be someone that's younger than you. You might be the mature believer that needs to disciple a younger person. So, you know, ask the Holy Spirit who that person should be, because it goes both ways. You know, you're just learning, and you're learning how to be with each other and how to pray together. You know, you got to understand, one of the methods of Satan's attack on the body of Christ is to deafen our ears and blind our eyes to each other's godly wisdom. And he blinds us with lies and attacks with the spirit of pride. Somebody is trying to pour into your life and you pull up this wall of pride. "Well, you don't tell me what to do. Well, don't you think I know that?" You know, that's how we are. But it's a tactic of the enemy. Again, we're on war room here, folks. You need to know tactics. And one of the tactics of Satan is that he doesn't want you to hear when godly wisdom is being poured into you. You know, so you put the wall up and you don't want to listen, and you fold your arms and you want to be stubborn, and the enemy's got you. When he's got you doing that, you got to let that pride down. It only takes a second to let your pride down. And oh, the joy that comes in when you clothe yourself in humility. Remember, that's the cloak Jesus wore. Jesus wore humility on the earth. So if you serve him, what should you be wearing too? He was a humble king. I mean, it blows my mind what he let us do to him. You know, and he was the Son of God. And he could have just spoken and called down tens of thousands of angels, and he didn't. And how dare we fold our arms and don't want to hear a little bit of godly wisdom? So we got to get out of that. We got to see the tactic of Satan. He's the one whispering the lie in your ear. You don't have to listen to them. Who do they think they are? They think they're better than you. All kind of things Satan will tell you. So you don't want to hear when somebody is trying to whisper godly wisdom. And many times it's from the Holy Spirit. You know, because the Holy Spirit is trying to talk to you and you're not hearing it. So he'll send a brother or sister in Christ to talk to you. So listen, learn to put down your guard and hear it. It will save your life, folks. And in many cases, it will save your soul. Don't let the enemy win. It's a tactic. So take down that wall. As soon as you see that, hear that thing coming up in you. And we humans, if you're human, it comes up. You know it comes up. If you are a human being, it comes up. When somebody is telling you something, who do they think they are? First thing, it is a lie of the enemy, so you won't hear, so you won't listen, so he can keep blinders on your eyes and your ears deafened, so you won't hear. Remember what Jesus said, he or she who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is talking through the people of God. So listen and hear so your life can be saved. The next point on our lesson says, the scriptures teach us, remember your leaders, for it was they who brought you the word of God. And consider the result of their conduct, the outcome of their godly lives, and imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider of eternal salvation through Christ, and imitate their reliance on God with absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. And this is from Hebrews 13 and 7. Now, it says a lot here, but it's saying, man, imitate what you have seen the people of God do. Imitate their faith. Imitate their conviction. I remember, you know, those old saints when I was young and I would watch them and they would just be in prayer and they would just be believing God for stuff. And I'd be like, you know, really? You know? But as the years went on, I began to understand those old saints. I understand them so much better, how they had to believe God. Sometimes they didn't have anything, so they had to believe God for stuff. We got a lot of stuff now. But we still have to believe God, folks, because I'm telling you, the enemy is robbing us blind. He's robbing us of our children. He's robbing us in our homes. He's robbing us. You know, we think we got a bunch of stuff, but he's robbing the important stuff. He's robbing us. So we have to imitate what we've seen other believers do. I remember them praying. I remember them on their face. I mean, literally laying down on their face before God. Do you do that? Do you ever get down on your face at home before God and just cry and weep before him? You know, I'm telling you, we're talking about warfare. We're talking about fighting for your family, fighting for your city, fighting for your neighborhood. You know, so again, imitate what you have seen faithful men and women do. Christ, Paul said, imitate me also as I imitate Christ. Christ showed us prayer. Christ prayed. He prayed. He was always praying, going away, getting away, so he could pray. He wanted to show us that this is what we should be doing, getting away and praying so that there he is connected with his Father while he was here on earth. So imitate their reliance on God, not on men, not on women, not on people, not on money, not on anything. Imitate their reliance on God. See, you can do it God's way, and you can keep your breastplate intact if you rely on God, because God is not going to ask you to take off your breastplate of righteousness. He's going to say, no, don't lie, tell the truth, and rely on me. No, don't get into strife, stay in peace, and rely on me. So again, we want to rely on God and keep the reliance going on God. There's a reason why God wants us to interact with each other, so we can see examples of faith lived out before us. You know, we gain faith in God as we see them operate in the lives of other people who stay faithful in the fire. You ever watch somebody faithful in the fire? You know, I mean, they have gone through all kind of things, have seen all kind of losses, and they're still faithful. You ever watch a life like that? I've watched lives like that. I've watched people, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, if they can stay faithful after all they've been through, I can do it, Lord. Imitate that. You know, you don't know why. You know, you came back to church. You still serving God after this happened to you and that happened to you and you lost this and you lost that and you're still here. Oh, wow. I don't think those people realize what a testimony they are to the rest of us and their ministry to the rest of us. You know, so again, that's why God wants us to interact with each other. You know, that's why I'm glad we're having Sunday dinner. We're having Sunday dinner. If you didn't get a flyer, it's up there on Palm Sunday at my house. And I love our Sunday dinners because we sit and we talk. We have a chance to just have a nice meal and we sit and we talk to each other. We share our lives with each other. We put each other on our prayer list. You know, we talk about what's going on and we put names. I got a prayer list I keep on my phone, you know, and I just prayer list. You know, when I talk to you all, okay, I'm going to put you on there. Okay, I've got this person. Okay, yes. And I just pray over that prayer list. You know, that's why we interact. And that's why the enemy wants to keep you separate. Because God help him if the saints of God get together and start praying in unity. Oh, my goodness. If we start praying in unity, if we start rocking the house with Jesus in unity, we could change things. So again, folks, understand we need each other. We need each other and pray for the unchurched church. As I said, pray for the unchurched church, the ones that are Christians. I'm not going to say they claim to be. I'm going to say they're believers. But for some reason, the enemy has deceived them into thinking they don't need the church. And that's when he picks them off one by one. He loves it. Divide and conquer. Let's keep them divided and then I can conquer. So again, we want to endeavor. That means you fight to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. You're not pulled away by a little offense or slight. Somebody said something to me and I didn't like the way she looked at me. And all these little trifling things that don't even matter in light of eternity that we have that pull us apart. So stop it. Let's forgive each other. Forgive. Even if they did mean it, forgive it. What has Christ forgiven from you? He's forgiven so much. How dare you not forgive? He or she that cannot forgive has forgotten what they have been forgiven of. How dare you hold a grudge when Jesus has forgiven you? So again, folks, we are going to endeavor and we're going to fight. That's part of our warfare, is that we are going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I'm going to fight to love you. I'm going to fight to keep loving you and keep holding on to you. I'm going to fight for it in the name of Jesus. The next point on your lesson says to exceed in warfare, the life you live is critical. The soldier cannot be effective in battle if he does not live the life of a soldier. The soldier has to keep himself in shape. The soldier has to keep his weapon clean if he's going to be effective. So how does that translate to our spiritual life? Hypocrites. Hypocrites will be exposed. I'm telling you. God will expose the hypocrites, and Satan certainly is going to want to expose the hypocrites because he wants to bring down more in the kingdom by exposing the hypocrite. Remember, Jesus has little tolerance for hypocrites. You know, you see that over and over in the Word of God. Remember what he said about the church of Laodicea? You say you're this, this, and this, but you are wretched and you are poor and you are naked. And one translation said, you disgust me and I'll spew you out of my mouth. Jesus is not like lukewarm people. He's like either you're hot or you're cold. He rebuked, remember how he rebuked the Pharisees over and over? Oh, he's rebuking the Pharisees. These were the religious people. He was rebuking them all the time. Not the commoners, it was the religious people. Because he hated their hypocrisy. Because it embarrassed his cause. It embarrassed what he was trying to do in the world. And to see the religious people just looking nice, smelling nice, but not living the life of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So again, we're talking about warfare. We're talking about preparing for war. We're talking about honest evaluation. Lord, am I a hypocrite? And if I am, show me. Show me. Because sometimes we don't even know where it is. We don't even know where it is. You know, so ask the Holy Spirit to show you, you, so we can change these things. On your lesson, it says, if the soldier does not train and learn and discipline himself and follow the commands of his leader, how can he be effective? If he doesn't do all this, how can he be effective in a battle if he doesn't do any of this? Got his own show going all the time. Can't go with what the church is doing, what the pastor is directing. I got my own show. I got my own thing going. I got, you know, won't listen to the commands, won't get in line, won't be a part of the battalion, but want to do your own thing. No discipline. Just no discipline. Just mouth is always, bah, bah, whatever you feel, bah, you know, ouch, ooh, bah, you know, just everything. Instead of having some discipline in yourself. That's what disciple, that word disciple comes from the word discipline. I discipline myself. The apostle says, I buffet my body. And I make it my slave, lest while I have preached to others, I myself would be cast away. This was the apostle talking this. This is a person that's preaching the gospel, planting churches. This is what he said about himself, that I have to buffet my body and make it my slave, lest while I preach to others, I myself will be cast away. Most soldier training comes by imitation of soldiers more seasoned than he. The young soldier learns from soldiers that have been through battles and have taken ground and won victories. Again, that's why we need each other. You know, when I was younger, I don't know why, I just had an affinity for people that were older than me. I just love hanging out with them. I know it was strange. I mean, I was a teenager, and I loved hanging out with the older people. You know, I just loved to hear what they had to say and how they talked and, you know, to hear their stories, you know, and that's a good place to be. You know, and the Bible says that. You know, the older men and women, teach the younger ones, you know? And even when they act like they're not listening, you know, I got the hands crossed and, you know, they're listening. Those of you parents know that. You parents know. They're listening because, you know, a few weeks later, they'll come back and say, Mom, remember what you said about, you know, you said it weeks ago. Remember what you said about what, you know, and they'll ask a little question because they're listening. They're listening. They even have TV commercials. I've seen some of those TV commercials where there was a commercial where the mom and the son is driving in the car. And, you know, it's the strangest commercial because it comes on and there's nothing. They're both sitting there silently in the car, you know, and it goes on for about a minute or two. And you're like, what kind of commercial is this? What are they advertising? You don't know. And then the sign comes up, another opportunity missed to talk to your child. I mean, boy, it was really powerful. I was like, man, isn't that the truth? When you have them in the car, you got a captive audience. They can't walk away, you know? So sometimes you just pour into them gently through the Holy Spirit. Let be led of the Spirit, but gently start pouring into them. You know, so again, you want to be effective in battle. Listen, you want to listen to as people are pouring into you. Their lives are strong and progressive. This is a mature saint, although scarred by the wounds of battle. You have people that are scarred. They've been through some stuff. They've been through divorces. They've been through heartache. They have been evicted, lost homes, lost cars. Their cars have been taken away. They've been through so much. You know, they've been through so much. And boy, what they could pour into you. And those of you that have been through that, I've been through a divorce. Those of you that have been through that, don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you, you can't say anything now because look at you, look at your life. You know, he tormented me with that for a long time. Oh, how dare you think you can go and teach at the church? Oh, no, not you, because you are this and you are divorced and you did this. And oh, folks, cast that stuff away. Whatever you need to repent of, bring it to the feet of Jesus and then say, what is my assignment, Lord? Here's your servant to do your assignment. Don't let the past things come up in your mind by the enemy because he brings it up. to tell you that you cannot minister. Because I'm telling you, I want to hear from the ones that have been scarred and healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the people I want teaching me, because they are the ones that's been through the fire. Because the Lord says, who better? Who better to teach? Who better to teach about marriage than someone that's been through a divorce? Who better to tell you the pitfalls? You don't have to make the same mistakes I made. You know, who better? So don't let the enemy tell you you can't and you're not good enough. Oh no, you're the best teacher. You're the ones that been through the fire. Yes, you're all scarred up. Yes, you've got some wounds and stuff. But praise Jesus, he brought you through. See, we need to see people that came through something. You know, I don't need to see someone that never went through anything. As I say, you show me someone that's never been through anything, and I'll show you somebody that's immature. Okay? You show me someone that's praising Jesus after they've been through the fire, and that's the person I want to hang out with. I got a friend like that. She's in her 80s. But I love hanging out with her because she's got a story, man. She tells me the stories of her life, and I'm like, my jaw just dropped open at some of the stuff she endured. Oh, but you should see the love of Jesus on her. And boy, I just love hanging out with her because she's got such a powerful testimony. And she loves Jesus and she's such a prayer warrior. And those are the people that you want to be around. The old scarred up soldiers. That's the one I want to hang out with. Their stories of victory are priceless to the young soldier. And their experiences in battle have important intelligence information to defeat the enemy. See, they got intel. See, I want to be around people that have some intelligence, some intel. They can pour into me. 1 John 2:14 says, I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. See, that's how you group together. It's from 1 John 2:14. That's from the New Living Translation. You know, he was saying, I've written to the old, one translation says, because they know the way. And I've written to the young because the young are strong. You know, they've got strength. They can carry it out. You know, and the old ones can pour wisdom into them. They can pour the intel. So you can see how we work together that way, how the body of Christ is just this constant chaining link of person to person to person, each person having a role to play. The next point on your lesson says, much of the word of God is intel on the enemy of God. I mean, enemy of God, who is Satan. This is an intelligence report. Did you know that? This is an intelligence report right here. So if you don't read it, guess what? You're going into enemy territory without your intelligence, without your intel. You want that. So much of the word of God is intel on the enemy of God, which is Satan. The apostle wrote, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. And that's 2 Corinthians 2:11. Boy, can you say that? We are not ignorant. I am not ignorant of his designs. Because if you're not reading his word, you are ignorant. And ignorant does not mean you're dumb. Okay, that's not what ignorant means. Ignorant means you're unknowledgeable. That you don't have the knowledge. You have the ability to obtain the knowledge, but you don't have it. That's what ignorance means. So you don't want to be ignorant, because ignorance can be deadly. If you don't know where the landmines are, and you're just walking out there like Pollyanna, as I said, skipping through the landmines, guess what? You're going to get blown up, because the enemy doesn't care that you're ignorant. He does not care. In fact, he wants to be sure that you remain ignorant, just like any enemy in war. He does not want you to know his tactics, because if you know his tactics, then you can avoid the landmine. So we want to keep it a secret, and that's how Satan operates with you. Here is the experienced apostle teaching the inexperienced people of God so that they could avoid the landmines placed by Satan. So we have to heed the warning of the mature in Christ who are not ignorant. See, the mature people who have lived through experiences, who have relied on the word of God, they could pour some stuff into you. They can tell you some stories of their life and how God brought them through. Many, many stories of how God brought them through. Romans 8:36 says, you want to write this scripture, says, just as it is written and forever remains written, for your sake or for Christ's sake, we are put to death all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. That scripture is important because you have to know you are counted every day as a sheep for the slaughter. You know, he wrote that in there so you'd be aware that every day he's got a plan. Satan has got something concocted for you every day. So you can go out unarmed. You can go out naked and ignorant if you want to. You can do that. You're going to be one of those ones that's come back into camp. Remember the guy that comes back into the camp with all the arrows in him? Coming into camp. Rode out on his own. Nobody with him. Nobody watching his back. And comes back into camp, all these arrows in him. That's the way some of us come home at night, right? Got all these arrows in us and come in the door. You know, Lord, just let me find my bed and put the covers over my head. You know? I was telling somebody, I see why people come home and get to have a drink. Some people go right to the refrigerator. I just need a beer. Because they're trying to just take away some of the pain of the day. You know, I'm not advocating drinking. I'm just saying I understand why people do that. Because they're just trying to dull the pain of the day. But what if you started with Jesus? What if you had your armor on? What if you had your sword, wielding your sword, and you were ready, and you came home in victory? Wouldn't it be wonderful to come home in victory? You know, like, Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you. I kept my mouth shut today. Thank you, Jesus. I kept my mouth. Lord, there would have been a time I would have told that person, told them one up one side and down the other. But thank you, Jesus. Today, I kept my mouth shut. Thank you, Lord. And I'm relying on you. You know, they think they got away with something, but Lord, I'm relying on you, because when you rely on God and let God take care of that person, oh, believe me, they will be taken care of. Okay. They'll be taken care of God's way. Sometimes we want him to hit them with a lightning bolt. That may not happen. He may not hit them with a lightning bolt, folks. He may hit them with some love. And that's exactly what they needed. And I love that about God, because he knows what all of us need. They don't need a lightning bolt. They need some love. And they needed you to be quiet. And they needed you to listen. Even though they said it in anger, they needed somebody to listen. Because now their heart is a little more open. And God can get some love in there, which is what they need. The next one in your lesson says, who speaks into your life the experience of a life in Christ? Who lives as a true believer in your life? Whose faith do you imitate? You know, is there somebody that you see that you like you imitate? I'm not saying they're perfect. Again, God is not asking for perfect people. He knows we're not perfect. He's asking for a pure heart toward him. That you get it right. You know, as soon as you feel that conviction, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You know, that's what he's looking for. As I said, sometimes it's not the most likely person that God will put in your life to watch their face. Sometimes it's the person that people rarely choose. It may not be the person up on the pulpit, you know, or in front of the class. It may not be that person. Oh boy, it could be that person that no one rarely notices, but boy, you see them. And God puts them in your life, and you see them, how steady they are and how faithful and how they've survived many battles. And you wouldn't even know that they survived some of the things they survived until you take the time to talk to them. And again, that's why I look forward to Sunday dinner, because I get to know people and I hear their stories and I'm like, wow, I would have never thought you had been through that. You know, because I just see Jesus all over you. I see, you know, you just have this beautiful countenance. I would have never thought that you had gone through that. So it's just amazing, you know, what we can do as we get together and we start to really get to know each other and connect. The enemy doesn't want it, folks, but let's connect. Let's connect with each other. The next point on your lesson talked about the evaluation. This is the almost the end of this segment. The evaluation, and we are, as this whole lesson is about the honest evaluation, and there's some questions in the lesson, and it talks about this. Is your spiritual life apathetic or indifferent? Is it joyless? Is it passionless? Is coming to church and having Bible study and prayer a chore to you? You know, and I'll be honest, guys, when I first became a Christian, it was. I was like, okay, Bible study. Okay, let's talk about, you know, because, you know, and that's the attitude I went in with it. But boy, as I continue to develop my relationship with Christ and got past all the, what I thought was religion, when I got past that and got into really seeing Christ as somebody that wanted to have relationship with me, because see, that was my issue. I didn't believe that he really wanted to have relationship with me. I mean, why me? I'm nothing special. I'm not all that. Why would he even want to talk to me? But when I could get past that through the lies of Satan and get past that and really start talking to Christ and see him start talking to me, I mean, that prayer life. And then when he opens up his word to you, that Bible is amazing. I mean, I'm just amazed at the things you see in there that are so appropriate for the day, for your specific circumstance. It blows my mind. You know, the things that he'll bring to you, and then you'll see him in your day like you never saw him before, through a song, through something somebody said. I'm like, oh my God, I was just praying about that this morning. And the Lord will send somebody along and say the same thing he said to you. That's him telling you, I hear you, I see you, I'm listening. You know, I know you. I know you. I love you and I've called you. You know, so pay attention. When you start paying attention, because all this time I think he was doing it, I just wasn't paying attention. I said, oh, that's a coincidence. I was just hearing that this morning. Oh, you know what, that's a coincidence. I just heard that song on the radio. Then I got in my car and I turned on my music and that song came on. Oh, that's a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. There's a song that said, God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to tell you something. You say, right now, God is trying to, you know, listen. It is such a beautiful thing when you realize. When you realize how much God is trying to talk to you in the day, pay attention. You know, don't take anything for granted. Don't say that's a coincidence. It's like, oh, wow, that just happened, and nobody knew that but me. I said that to God this morning personally, and now somebody came and said it, or I heard it on the radio. That's God letting you know, I hear you. And the way, I love the way he does it, because only God could do it that way. Only God could coordinate so that a child tells you something that God told you. God said something to me one day, and I'll tell you, later on that day, a child said, I'm like, oh my God. God will speak through a little one. And that's God letting you know, I see you. I hear you. So, if you are this joyless person, this passionless person with your relationship with Christ, it's time to get on your face like, Christ, Lord, I just want a closer relationship with you. Just pray for it. Please show me yourself, and he will. You know, it's time to stoke the fire of your heart toward him. He can't get any closer to you. He can't. He's as close as he can get to you. So it's up to you to stoke that fire of your heart toward him. It just takes effort. Just like any relationship takes effort, your relationship with Jesus Christ takes effort. You have to take time to crack open that Bible and read it. You know, Lord, where do you want me to read? You know, and you know, some people recommend reading St. John. Sorry, the book of John has really, you know, good things that'll really help you if you're a young Christian. I've had people that told me other things. God took me to the book of Jeremiah. Like, okay, you know. And the book of Jeremiah really blessed them. You know, so ask them. You ask him, Lord, how do I get a closer relationship with you? Question number two, do you have at least one sin that you refuse to repent of? And again, honest evaluation. Is there something or someone you like or love, you can put that in there, so much that you will not give it up or give them up for Christ. Honest evaluation. You know who that person is that you like. I know I'm not giving up that relationship. You want it. You still like it. You still have an appetite for it. You know, and God knows that. He knows you still have an appetite for it. I know we're trying to be Christian and we don't even desire that. Yes, you do. You want it, and he knows you want it. So take it to him. Just be honest. Lord, you know, I really like that. You know, I really like doing that. I really like, you know, take it to him. But Lord, if it's in between me and you, take it from me, Lord. If this person, I know it's a toxic relationship. I know it is, Lord. But take it from me, Jesus. Take it, just remove this relationship. You know, it starts with just asking him. Because this thing or this person you set up as a God before him. Really, you're worshiping that person or that thing over God. So you gotta face what it is, face where you have it in your life, and then bring it to Christ. Your appetite may not change, but bring it with your appetite, bring the whole thing to Christ and say, Lord, help me with this thing. Help me, deliver me from this. You know, we have relationships that are outright sin against God and his word, but you refuse to lay it on the altar. You make excuses for it. You make excuses for yourself, and you make excuses for the relationship. And you think in your mind, and see, this is the deception of Satan. You think in your mind that you're bargaining with God because you're doing good works. Well, I do good works, and I go to church, and I give to the church, and I volunteer, and I do. And you think in your mind, I'm bargaining with God so that he doesn't mess with this thing that I love or this relationship I love. Folks, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Remember Jesus knocking. Knocking. He's knocking. He said, if you open the door, I'll come in. You know, he said, come, let us reason. Let us talk this out, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, I will make it white as snow. He wants to talk about this because he knows this is killing you. You may even know it's killing you, but you have an appetite for it. So we want to deal with our appetites and honest evaluation before God. Don't let the enemy keep you deceived. You think you've got a bargain going with God and you don't, because he's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He does not negotiate with sin. He cleanses sin. He doesn't negotiate with it. And number three, do you have at least one person you refuse to forgive? And again, we're back to that forgiveness piece. You justify your resentment. And again, you think you're bargaining with God with your good works. Well, I do all these good things. But Lord, don't ask me to forgive that person. Folks, it hinders your warfare. It hinders your warfare. It leaves a crack for Satan to come in and run roughshod in your home, in your life, because you won't close that area off. And you close it off by giving that thing to Jesus, to ask, let that thing go. Forgive, let it go. The scripture says, and this is in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. That's 1 Samuel 16:7. And then this is another good scripture, Proverbs 24:12. Write this down on this. It says, don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts, and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. Wow. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. That's Proverbs 24:12. That's a New Living Translation. I like that translation because it kind of breaks it down. Boy, that one hit me right between the eyes. I don't think I've ever read that scripture. I was like, man. But it says, don't excuse yourself by saying, I didn't know. Because that's some of the things we think we're going to say before Christ one day, because we all stand before, believers, unbelievers alike, we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you cannot say, I didn't know. I didn't know I had to forgive them. After all, they did all this horrible stuff to me. He's telling you. I knew your heart, and I know that you knew, but you refused to do it. Oh, folks, don't be found that way. Don't be found. You don't want to be found. It's not worth it. Let it go. Let that person go. Forgive them. I mean, I don't care what it is. I know there are some horrible things that happen on this planet. Horrible things that can happen to us. People can violate us. People kill your mama. You know, all kind of things can go on. But he still calls us to forgive. And it sets you free. See, that's the thing. You think your forgiveness is hurting and punishing people when it's punishing you. It'll set you free. Let it go. Nobody gets away with anything. Let God, give it to Jesus. Let him take that person and deal with them. There's a bottom line. You cannot do effective warfare with a heart of unforgiveness. You cannot do effective warfare with a heart of unforgiveness. We're talking about warfare. So if you're happy with the enemy just continuing to run roughshod over you and your family, then just hold on to that grudge. But if you're tired, you've had it, Lord, I'm going to let it go. And don't worry about your feelings, because sometimes, well, I don't feel to forgive. That's what you might see that person, their heart may race, and you know, and you might see that person, you're like, that anger might, your blood may go to a low simmer, but just say, Lord, I have forgiven them in the name of Jesus as an act of my will. I forgive them. You know, I may not, and I'm on a cable, guys, so I can't walk around. Used to. Give me your cup, Virginia. Like, I got it. I may not want to give Virginia this cup because I just don't want Virginia to have this cup. You know, and the Lord's telling me to give Virginia this cup. And just as an act of my will, I'm not feeling it. Here, Virginia, here's your cup. And I did it with a smile, you know. The feeling will follow because God sees the act of your will. See, your will. It's not your feeling. It's your will you got to deal with. So as an act of your will, say it out loud. Lord, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive. And you fill in that blank. Holy Spirit, help me. As an act of my will, I hold on to it no longer, Lord, but I leave it with you. I trust you, and I, as an act of my will. So, Lord, do a change in my heart and watch him do a change. I know what I'm talking about, folks. He had to do a change in my heart with somebody. I mean, he had to do a work. He even told me to take them some soup one time when they were sick. I was like, what? I already had to tell them I forgave them. Now you want me to take them soup? And I didn't spit in it either. Okay. You know how we are. Come on. But I did it. And each time I did what was obedient, more of that bitterness drained out of me. More of it drained out of me. Because God was trying to heal me. It wasn't just about that other person. He was trying to heal me because he saw my heart. He saw how horrible my heart was, and he loved me. He didn't want me to go through life like that. So he was trying to clean me up. So as I would trust him and obey him, he would drain that bitterness, that yuck out of me. That stuff kills you. It does. Yeah, exactly. People have associated people who hold unforgiveness with cancer. And I believe it's true because when we have certain feelings, our bodies and our emotions are so connected that when you have an emotion, your body reacts. That's why your heart races when you're afraid. And, you know, when you're bitter, things are secreted in your system. You know, they said all kind of things, you know, because you're angry. And when you're angry, and a person that lives like that day in and day out, some people have associated it with all kind of diseases, ulcers, I know.
Cancer.
Cancer, yeah, it spreads all over. You know, they call them psychosomatic illnesses. medical science has a name for it, psychosomatic, illnesses that come out of what's going on up here and what's going on in here. And we get sick because of it, and ill, blood sugar, all kind of things can happen. So Jesus knows it's killing you. So trust him. It's going to be hard at first, but I'm telling you, if you just take the step, I'm going to let it go. Just an act of your will. That's how it starts. And then the Holy Spirit comes. Because you've opened the door to Jesus now, and he can come in. You know, even if you open a crack and he's slipping in. Let him in. So we want to forgive. That's a biggie. Number four, do you love and seek God less than you once did? What or who pulled you away from Christ? And again, this comes with those toxic relationships. When you accepted Christ, you became a part of the bride of Christ. Have you found another lover since you became a part of the body of Christ? Because it happens. You know, Jesus, God accused Israel of this. He called, said she went a whoring. She was a prostitute. He called her all these, said these things about Israel. Because you found other lovers. You said you accepted me into your heart, but now you're with other lovers. You have other people pulling you away. Remember, this is a marriage we have to Christ. Do you find yourself estranged from Christ? You know, don't want to talk to him about certain things. Number five, are the words of your mouth displeasing to God and dishonorable to others? This is part of the evaluation. Are you like Peter, who deny him with their tongue when you're under pressure? And I'm not talking about a pressure like Peter with the threat of death. I'm talking about social pressure. You're on your friend, you're on your buddies, everybody's doing this and doing that. And do you join in and do it too? Do you talk about the negative thing too? Do you join into the complaint session? You start grumbling about everything. Grumbling and complaining, that's not us. We don't grumble and complain. We bring praise. We bring, you know, we bring a new attitude to the situation. When the child of God walks into the room, there should be a difference. You know, we don't join into the complaint session. You know, sometimes I've just had to get up and just leave. Okay, I'll see you guys. You know, because I can't get with that. I can't be a part of that. I don't want to betray him with my mouth. You know, and you got to be careful when you're saying certain things, you betray him, just like Peter denied him 3 times. And are we denying him with our mouth by what we're talking about and what we're saying to other people? People who know that you're a Christian, they know you're a believer. But do you deny him with your mouth? Number six, do you see no evidence of an answered prayer or the power of God at work in your life? Are you losing battles? Again, evaluating, you know, and I'm not, you know, sometimes you're praying for a long time, and sometimes you do have to pray for things a long time, but are you seeing any evidence of something happening, or is it just the same, year after year, no change? So again, you want to evaluate, Lord, where am I missing? Why am I losing battles? Because we're facing battles in this life every day. You're going to face battles until he comes. You know, are you seeing victories? Are you losing more territory? You know, you're losing more and more. More things are being lost instead of you prevailing and taking stuff back. You know, losing territory in your family, your job, your friends. You just keep losing territory. Oh, go to God. Lord, where am I missing? And sometimes I go to God, Lord, am I missing something? Did I miss something, Lord? You know, is there something that I need to get right before you? You know, sometimes it's just a matter of patience, you know, but at some point you should start seeing some victory in your life. That's what this whole class is about, so that we as a people of God can start seeing some victory in our life and start prevailing, you know, and it's going to start close to you. It's going to start with the people close to you, and then it spreads out from there. Number seven, do you have time for entertainment but not for Bible study and prayer or sharing your faith? Do you make an effort to do good to others? Man, you know, see, sharing your faith doesn't have to be walking around with the Bible. You know, let me show you this scripture. Let me show you this scripture. Live it out. There are needs all over your life, all over the city, every day. There are needs. There are needs in your home. Little special things that you can just do for people right in your home. That you can do. Live it out. Even if it's a sacrifice. Even if you have to go out of your way. See, that's our issue. I got to sacrifice. I got to go out of my way. It's going to take, Yes, even if it's a sacrifice, you got to think in the eternal and not in the temporal. What is going to matter in 100 years? What's going to matter when you stand before God? These are basic ingredients in the life of a believer. Do you see them? Giving. Giving is a basic to the life of the believer. Prayer, faith, that's all basic to the life of the believer. Do you see it in your life or... You know, what have you done for anybody lately? I mean, these are evaluations for yourself. Have I done anything for anybody this week? Or was it all about me? Did I not have time? Could I not be bothered? You know, because on any given week, people are asking you for stuff, or aren't they? They're asking, you know, I mean, yes, use wisdom. You know, there are people that will take advantage, but, you know, use wisdom. But sometimes you're like, you know what? I can do that. Yes, I can come. I'll be there. Yeah, I'll help you with that. Folks, again, we want to do what we need to do. Number 8, do not let your pride, worry, or fear stop you from obeying what God has told you to do. Do you shrink back instead of forging forward in obedience? Wow. And this is a hard one, folks. Because we live in a world that can be very scary. It can. It can be very scary. I'm not going to say that sometimes my heart is not racing when I have to stand up for God, or, you know, when everybody around you are just, you know, wanting to do something and you know that is against the word of God. And, you know, I'm not saying my heart doesn't race. So, again, we do have fear. We have worry from obeying what God has told us to do. Do you shrink back instead of forging forward in obedience? The troubles of this world can wear you out without the power of God. See, that's what it takes. It takes the power of God. See, when you prayed up, you can do it. I'm not saying your heart rate's not going to go up, but you can do it. And watch God work. You'd be surprised at the outcome, because you think the outcome is going to be one way, and you'll be surprised at the outcome, because you're going to stand out to people. In a good way. You think it's going to be in a negative way, but sometimes, oh man, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad, because I just didn't want, because you have someone in there that didn't have that power in them. I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you did that. Wow. You could change the course of things if you do it God's way. Most people, a lot of times when things are hard, people won't blame you for giving up or shrinking back on some things, because life is hard. Life is hard, folks. But when you turn to Christ, He will encourage you in your obedience. If He's told you to do it, He will be there to encourage you to do it. Okay? So keep that in mind. If He has told you to do it, He will be right there. If you ask Him, Lord, I got to go into this meeting today, and you know the things that I have to say. So Lord, help me. He'll be right there helping you and encouraging you. He will comfort your heart, and He will remind you that you have all power and authority in Him. You can take authority over the enemy. If you're going into a meeting or some situation and you've got that person that's always coming at you, always, take authority over that devil in the name of Jesus. Not over the person, because you're not wrestling against that person. You're wrestling against demons in that person. That person has no power of God to overcome that demon, so they're just going to act out. But you take authority over it. Lord, I take authority over that demon in the name of Jesus. If you know what kind of demon it is, call it out. I take authority over the demon of jealousy. In the name of Jesus, I command its mouth to be shut. In the name of Jesus, I take authority of it, over it. I've seen it happen. I go into meetings and that one person I thought was going to come, they are quiet. Or for some reason, they couldn't make the meeting. Because I took authority over it in the name of Jesus and commanded that demon to be quiet. In the name of Jesus, because we're on kingdom work. I got to do God's work here. And so I command the demons to shut up in the name of Jesus. Take authority over it and God will comfort you. Isaiah 40:1 is another good scripture. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. He will comfort. He will comfort you. You could be all by yourself, but you're never alone because he will come and he will comfort you. I hope and pray that you have people in your life that will encourage you in obedience to God. You know, there are people that would say, you know, it's all right. You know, you're tired. Oh, no. You know, you should just give this up. You should just, you know, this is too hard for you. If God told you to do it, folks, I encourage you to forge ahead. Hopefully you have people in your life that will encourage you to forge ahead in the things of God. There's a beautiful song that Twyla Paris sings, and it talks about deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. And there's a part in the song that says, I drop my sword and I cry for just a while, because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. And you are a child. You know, and she talks about, sometimes I just have to stop because I'm so tired. And I have to cry. And I just drop my sword for a minute. And I just, at the feet of Jesus. And I just have to cry because the warrior inside is a child. But you have to remember whose child you are. That's what you have to remember, whose child you are. And you can take the victory. Number 9, and we're almost done. Does your family see you behave one way at church and another one at home? This is the evaluation. They wrote these questions, not me. Do you take your Christ-like example at home for granted? Okay. Oh, man, let's park there for a minute. It's so important, folks, that we live the life of Christ before our family. Our children in particular need to see Christ lived out in our lives so that when they are enticed by the enemy to his way of life one day, they're growing up. They're not always going to be children. See, we take them for granted when they're little. We can just do whatever because they're just little kids and they're watching you. And one day, they're going to be big enough to leave your home. And have they seen the word of God lived out in your life is going to be the question. You don't want them to say, Mom was a hypocrite, Dad was a hypocrite. But you want them to say that Mom and Dad, they lived the life of Christ, man. They kept me straight. They didn't let me do everything. They loved me. Because sometimes we can have the rod going and keep them disciplined, but are you loving on them? See, that was the main thing with Jesus. The main thing with Jesus was love. You know, I mean, he had his discipline piece too, but love was what attracted him. Attracted people to him. So make sure you pour the love on the children, you know, so that when the enemy, when they leave the house someday and the enemy starts enticing them, this happens, you know, I think most kids go through this. They leave home, they're enticed by the enemy. They may get involved with something. And when the enemy gets finished beating them up and slapping them around, it happens. And sometimes mama and dad are praying, Lord, do what you need to do, but don't let them take their life. You ever pray those prayers? Don't let their life be taken, Jesus. But, you know, they're going to go out and do what they, you know, and you just start praying. Because one day they'll wake up, just like the prodigal. They wake up and they say, I remember my mama's house. I remember daddy's house. And it was a safe place. It was a place where I was loved. It was a place where they took care of me. It was a place where they had my back. See, that's what you want your children to, you know, I don't care how rebellious they are. You know, yes, that happens. But you keep praying and you keep praying. And if they leave, they're going to remember the testimony. They're going to have the memory files of mama and daddy's house, that it was a good place and it was a safe place and it was a warm place. I got good food and they loved on me and they poured into me. I didn't want to always listen, and it was just so funny because, you know, something my daughter said to me yesterday, and it just, I was like, Lord, I thank you. She said something to me that was just so profound. She said, "Mom, thank you for tolerating me when I acted this way." You know, and I was just saying, I said, "Lord, that's you. That's you, Jesus. That's your Holy Spirit. That's an answer to prayer there. That's an answer to prayer." Because, Lord, there was nothing more I could say. You know, you parents know what I'm talking about. Sometimes there's nothing more you can say. You have said everything that you could possibly say, and they don't want to hear it. But if you've lived it, if you did your best living it before them, then that memory will be, that memory of the living gospel will be in their heart. And when they have grown tired of Satan's way, they will remember the God of their mother and father who loved Christ and loved them. The scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. That's a promise from God. That's a promise. So those of you that are praying for your loved ones, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Even if you weren't perfect, keep praying. The Holy Spirit can still move. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. Like, oh my goodness, I really messed up with my kids. Keep praying. God can still do it. I've seen him do it. Child come back and start ministering to the mom and daddy. I've seen that happen. Boy, I heard the story about this guy. You know, he was raised by two lesbian women. And God got a hold of him in a Bible study at a high school. And today he's pastoring a church. And don't you know his mama got out of that relationship and came down and joined his church. I mean, God can do so many things. You just keep praying. Keep praying. And see the amazing things that God can do. And I put a note here. Same with your spouse. Don't take your spouse. Don't take your husband or wife. Well, we have all women here. For granted. Don't take their salvation for granted. You know, in Christendom, if I could say anything, don't take it for granted. Even if they're Christians, you know, love on your spouses. You know, don't take their salvation for granted, because the enemy can steal them away with lies if you're not prayed up. So we want to show them the love of Christ. And finally, guys, is your worship of God half-hearted and mediocre? Do you thank God for your blessings daily, or do you just complain about what isn't right? I know this seems like a little thing, but it's a big deal that you don't thank God. You're ungrateful. You know, God talked about it. He's like this ungrateful generation, you know, just ungrateful. God wants to hear from you. God is personal. You know, that was a whole deal for Jesus coming. And so that he could have a personal relationship with you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your praise. He wants to hear your gratitude. Not mama's, not somebody else's praise, not your friend's praise. He wants to hear from you. I cannot praise or thank God in your place. You have to thank and praise God yourself. When you go into the sanctuary of God, you need to be lifting up your voice yourself. And not be hiding behind your neighbor singing. Lift up your voice. Sing at home. You don't have to have a great voice. Just sing at home. I mean, if you can't sing anywhere, sing at home. You know? He wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your voice praising him. So we're going to praise the Lord. Guys, I am sorry. I don't know if they're going to get the wireless mics back, but I can't move around the room. But if anybody has a comment, they can come up here and talk. Yes, okay. So we just thank the Lord. Hopefully they'll get us cordless.
Thank you. I want to give thanks to our Lord for allowing me to be here to tell you my testimony, because it is powerful. During our last fasting at the church that we used to worship before, the pastor told us we're going to do fasting. He says, but this is for your benefit. You go ahead and write down your needs. And during those 21 days of fasting, we would get together every morning, the intercessors, and praying for everybody's needs. And I had my need, and I asked the Lord to provide, as I needed a few things done in the bathroom, and I needed a hearing aid, and I needed a few things. And even before the 21 days were over, people were giving testimony of their needs being met. And 1 month passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed, and I thought, I guess the Lord isn't going to meet my needs this time. Got a letter in the mail, and it said that during my retirement, I had gotten my money that I was entitled to. I even had used it, did some things that had to be done. And I got a letter, and I said, this is identical to the one I had got when I retired. And it said, and here 3 years had passed, and it said, we have money here for you. Do you want it at one lump sum, or do you want, you know, to divide it? And called him, and I said, and it reminded me of when you said you returned the microwave. I called him and I said, no, I don't have any money there. You already gave it to me and it's been used. And I went on and on, and they said, no, ma'am, it shows here that there's money for you. So then I said, okay, well, let me think about how I want it. So I called the hospital where I worked, and I talked to IT, and I told him, you know, I got this letter, but I've already gotten my money. They checked, and they said, no, Consuelo, this money's here for you. And I had promised the Lord that I would give 10% of whatever he provided. So that following Sunday after I received the money, I went and I gave the pastor $3,000. That was my 10%. I had received a check for $30,000. So the Lord does provide and he does answer. You need faith.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yes, yes. And the fact that you checked into it and checked into it, I mean, you're... Okay, thank you, Jesus. It's a blessing. I tell you, all he has to do is speak it, and it's there. It's like, you know, that's how we all came to being, is by what God said, and it was there, you know? Amen. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to close. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Oh, God, I pray, Lord God, that we would check ourselves, that we would do an honest evaluation of ourselves in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, that we would not be afraid, that we would not be prideful, but, Lord, that we would come and place ourselves at your feet and on your altar, that you can do your surgery on us, Lord God. Oh, Father, show us ourselves, Lord God. We're not looking at our neighbor. We're not looking at our sisters, our brothers, our spouses. We're looking at ourselves, Lord God. Father, we want to be soldiers that are ready for the warfare, Lord God, but we don't want these weights holding us down. Oh, God, so we bring these weights to you, Lord God, whatever they may be. It's different for all of us, Lord God, but we come. Oh, Lord, move by your power, move by your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would bless us with prayer partners. Oh, Lord, people, believers that would come together and believe with us, Lord God. Lord, even as we lay down our weights, Lord, even as we lay ourselves before us, Lord, we want to lay down, Lord God, with all these weights, but we want to get up as soldiers. Oh, Lord, powerful weapons of the living God, that we may take territory. So, Lord, I pray it over us. In the name of Jesus, move by your Holy Spirit, move by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.